Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Coleman Had a Dream podcast. We have been away for a little while, but we are back at the start of the new season, and we have a special guest for you today. We're joined by Ryan Evans. How are you doing, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for the invite.
No problem, thanks for coming on. And as always, all the way from Oregon, we are joined by Ruth. How are you doing, Ruth? Who's got some very flash new gamer headphones, she tells us. I can't tell you, listener, how disappointed I am that you can't see Ruth's getup at the minute. How are you?
Maybe there'll be a screenshot at some point because these are particularly ridiculous.
It's the top. Is it like a little bit
like it's like extra stuff for the sake of extra stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. I feel like you're going to start saying phone home any minute now. Well, first of all, obviously this is our first podcast for a while. We've not recorded for a huge amount of different reasons, holidays and real life and hospital visits and all sorts of different stuff. So we're glad to be back and obviously looking forward to it. I did a piece a little while ago about the Cymru Premier and the leagues that surround it, the North and South, and it kind of generated a good positive response. So we're going to talk through that today with Ryan, and I'll give you a bit more information on Ryan in a second. Our usual selection of housekeeping information. If you want to support us, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Equally, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Coleman's Dream, and you can support us there as well. A few quid here and there helps us keep this podcast free. Equally, if you want to go to bagsybags.com and use the code CHAD10, you get 10% off everything which is in the Bagsy store, which is absolutely fantastic. Everything from t-shirts, mug, bags, all the different things you would possibly need to prove to people that you are from Wales. Thank you very much again to Ryan for joining us. Ryan is the man behind the Haverford West documentary, You Can Have It All. I don't know how many people have seen that. Works a lot on the creative output. You're doing like a podcast, a vlog cast, if that's the right term as well, on match days at the moment for Haverford West County, which is amazing. As I say, we did this article a while back, and Ryan was one of the people who got in touch. We had a bit of back and forth previously about the documentary, so I thought was a great person to get involved and have this conversation really about perhaps what the FAW, the league themselves can make a difference, perhaps to the league. Ryan, we'll start off. First of all, thank you very much for joining us, mate. I really appreciate your time. From your perspective, obviously someone who works within the Cymru leagues, what do you think they do well to promote and further their own cause, really?
That's a good starting point. Good question. And I've worked in and around the Cymru leagues for probably going into 11, 12 years from when it was Welsh League 2. I had a spell up in Newcastle Emlyn working in the backroom staff. Then I was actually in the backroom staff doing all sorts of jobs at Haverford West County for a number of years. I left, and then upon my return, I did see a big jump up in not only the standards on the pitch, but the way it was structured, the logistics, and you know, social media's boomed, doesn't it? You know, obviously in the last two decades, probably. The Cymru Football app, over the last few years, has transformed a lot of the way that people engage on a Saturday afternoon mainly, but, you know, in the midweek fixtures and things like that. I think having live access, like you would in, you know, the Football League and the Premier League and international football and things, having that live instant sort of, you can go and see the lineups, you can go and see who's been yellow carded, sent off, goals, attendances even. You can, you know, if it's sometimes interesting if there's a comment online about decisions being made or certain things happening in the game, you know, you can go back and have a look at, well, who are the officials? Have they had a good game? You know, that sort of engagement, I think, was a huge step forward for the league. I think it's going into its third season now. So I would highly recommend people download that. Even if you're not into a Cymru Leagues team, just to keep abreast of it all, I suppose. Mention social media. I think the team of the week and the sort of five on form and things like that the league does on social media, I think, again, is a step forward from what it was once upon a time. But, you know, there's always areas, I think, that it can improve as well.
We'll obviously come on to the stuff that it can improve in a sec. Ruth, what do you think are some of the things that the league do well?
I think the level, as Ryan was saying, even at this distance, you can see that over the last sort of 5 to 8 years, the level of the football has improved. And as long as that's going up, then it obviously makes Ryan's job easier. Everybody was talking about the product, as it were, easier. So I think the fact that the quality of what's happening on the pitch is exciting. And we're not going to see Champions League level football, but you want to see exciting football. And I think that has advanced. I think the structure of the league with the playoffs later in the season, I think that adds a dimension. I think the fact, the sort of European question is a somewhat different question, but I think the fact that there's access to that and that generates some energy around the games as well. I think I like the sea internationals. I think that's just an interesting little dimension. I think it's a small factor, but I think it's all something that just puts the product on the table for people to digest in different ways. And I think that's good. We'll get on to the things that we think are missing. And I want to be careful about how I comment on this here, because I'm literally the other side of the world. So I feel like I dip in and out and I get snippets and there's headlines and that sort of thing. I'm not a avid consumer of what's happening. But I'm an interested consumer, and I think what there are things that can be done to draw in people like me who are sort of sitting on the periphery of it. Definitely.
I think that's something I want to come back to, actually, because I think that's a really key area. Because I would say myself, in a very similar position, not on the other side of the world, but not in Wales. I watch as much of it as I can on S4C, but again, still, that's not always feasible, and trying to keep up with it is not always easy, which is, you know, again, something we'll come on to. But I think the one thing I wanted to tap into there from what you said about the European games, I think the way, and using Haverford West as an example, how they managed to tap into Welsh media to an extent in terms of drawing other people, like not Haverford West fans, into that, I think is great. And I think the time of the year that is, before the majority of teams, other teams' games have started in a competitive level, I think is great. And I think I was listening to the Edgeforth podcast the other day, and Stuart, someone, I forget his last name now, was part of the Haverford West County kind of journey, I feel like, and was talking about how a backstage access to it and stuff. And I thought that was excellent. And I think the way that was drawn in, and the link to the Athletic, and obviously they're the sponsor of the shirt, and lovely shirt, might I add, which I've got on order. They, you know, it makes a big, big difference, I think. And that sort of stuff at the time of the year goes to show there is a level of interest in the league and the division and everything that goes around it. And it's just, and I appreciate it's not easy to hang on to that because of so many external factors. But I think that goes to demonstrate there is definitely a willingness and an interest of people who are not Haverford West County fans, for example, to kind of engage with that. Is there anything else you think, Ryan, that you think is kind of part of that and important, that is kind of maintained, I guess, that they think they do well?
Yeah, you know, Ruth mentioned the on-field product. It definitely, there's no doubts about it, it definitely has improved over a number of years. I think there's only ourselves and one other grass pitch left in the league. You know, they're all on artificial, so there's access, you know, there's no trainings cancelled tonight, the pitch is waterlogged sort of stuff, or the groundsman wants to look after it. Teams are managing to train once, if not twice, obviously TNS probably a number of times a week, in the build-up to weekend fixtures and that. So things have improved. You know, there's talk of like strength and conditioning coaches and goalkeeper coaches that perhaps weren't really looked upon, you know, even and as much as 5 years ago, perhaps. So the product has improved. So it is a better watch for the audience most of the time.
Absolutely. Interested in mentioning TNS there. I think, and something you touched on, Ruth, the entertainment at the end of the season, I think, is fascinating. The combination of teams that can get into the playoffs, and then they have the European playoffs, you know, all the drama around relegation, the way the league splits. I think it's a shame then that TNS seem to be kind of runaway winners every year with a few anomalies. I know Connors Key have won it recently and so on, but they are the kind of the standard in it. And it's a shame in a way, because it is so competitive, apart from the one that everyone wants to see that's more competitive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they are, I don't even know the odds, but they are heavily favourites every summer going into the season. And they, you know, it's a case of everyone else is fighting for second. And what's exciting going into this season, or we're two games in, you've got teams coming up. Colwyn Bay have obviously made the move from the English system to the Welsh. They've climbed the ladder and got promotion this year. Barry Town United have come back up, who, you know, a highly successful history in obviously both forms of the club. You know, like last year, people were saying, oh, so-and-so are going to get relegated. They haven't got strength. This year, it's a huge debate who's going to finish last, all the way up to who's going to finish second. Honest Key, who fought with TNS when they went full-time for a couple of years. Penabont, who have developed again. They've gone again with another new couple of signings coming in to strengthen. Pontypridd, who were our first game of the season. We drew 0-0 with them. They were much strengthened. So there's teams who were 3 months ago fighting relegation and now potentially looking upwards going, we want to be the next best, almost, you know. So it's a shame they don't have a trophy for second place in our league, almost.
One of the big things, Ruth, that has come up recently is Noel Mooney's pledge to put more money into the league. I could be wrong, but I think it was somewhere in the region of 3 million, or I may have completely made that piece of information up. Out of interest, where would you like to see that go? Obviously, Ryan was talking about there, Connors Key going full-time for a little bit. Where would you like to see that money put in?
I mean, there's some infrastructure stuff, clearly, and that varies hugely with different clubs. I think there's this ongoing question about, and it doesn't happen quite so much at Ryan's level, but we've seen it with many clubs, haven't we, where people haven't been relegated that should have been and haven't been promoted that should have been because of infrastructure issues. And I think to give the league the credibility that it needs, you've got to get over that hurdle. A club that deserves to be in a league has got to be able to be in a league. So I think the infrastructure questions would probably be the top one on my list, because I think it has domino effects on credibility. Beyond that, I think you've got to look at stipends for, you know, the coaching staff that Ryan was talking about, being able to put people into clubs who are going to help those clubs grow and create a base for success. You're not going to turn into, you know, have our coefficient skyrocket in a couple of years. You've got to build a base and just keep moving forward. And I think the clubs stand on the people that are within them. And I think once you solve the infrastructure point, then you've got to look at how you can enable clubs to have the best staffing that they can.
Absolutely. And Ryan, from your perspective, I mean, obviously, what would you, because obviously you're in it, so to speak, you think would make a big difference financially? I'm not suggesting, you know, all of that money gets chucked at Haverford West County, as lovely as I'm sure you would find that. But nice. What sort of things would you like to see, you know, having that inside perspective?
It's, and we, everybody on the response to your blog post, throwing some great ideas in. I think there's not one fix answer with this. There's so many pieces to the puzzle to improve everything. What Ruth said, I completely agree with. I think criteria with regards to the grounds and things like that. And I mean, look at probably Llantwit Major, and I know Carl Lewis, who was manager of there, I know him well. He had a great squad, and it was sort of the fairy tale that they were complete underdogs that season. They won the league at a canter in the end. But I've not been there, purely on videos and photos I've seen. You know, being honest, it's not a Welsh Premier standard, and that's because it's the complete opposite of potentially what it should look like. But I mean, they should have been allowed perhaps to ground share or merge, or, you know, and share facilities. They probably looked into that, I know, but that's an extreme case. I think a club that's, you know, 150 seats short of being capacity, they're probably not going to have that amount of supporters anyway. I remember going to Ton Pentre years ago, and they had this brand new stand that about three people stood in during the game. It probably cost them tens of thousands of pounds to build, and it was just purely to tick a box. And with all due respect to clubs like a Ton Pentre or someone like that, they're never going to have the attendance, or even if they have, those fans traditionally will stand around, you know, almost the terraces, you know, and around the ground, because that's what they've always done. So it's, I can understand ground criteria has got to be looked at. We had a bit of a scare, should we say, in the springtime when the club were deemed not to have a ground suitable. And I think it was a difference of about 40 seats had been taken away due to the safety measures. I mean, the Hoggy Bridge medal, to be fair, is, I think, one of the nicest ones in the league structure in the Cymru Premier. And it was deemed not suitable, whereas that stand is still closed at the moment. I think we had 550 there last Friday night. They all stood around behind the goals on the touchlines. You know, so you could still have that number of people in, regardless of seating. So, yes, ground needs to be one of these pillars that Noel's mentioned, but I think for me, it's the other things. And if you just say to a club, here's, I don't know, 100 grand for argument's sake, all clubs would do things differently. You'd have some managers going, I want X amount of that percentage into my player budget and would blow it pretty much in a couple of years, maybe. I don't know. What I'd like to see is the league saying, right, every club must have certain positions off the field in able to allow that club to grow. We've been lucky to have a partnership manager over the last few years. The work that position and a number of staff around, you know, are working as a team, who, to be fair, Rob Edwards, the chairman, has funded those guys as almost full-time members of staff. The community work, engaging the local area, like in Pembrokeshire, where our closest rival is either Aberystwyth or probably Pen-y-Bont in the Cymru Premier. So we've got a huge area, particularly Pembrokeshire, hence why we've got this hashtag playing for Pembrokeshire, so that we can engage with the communities. Well, you know, when COVID struck, they were out delivering food, sort of support packages, and a lot of local community causes. There was choirs singing in COVID in the stand because they could be seated undercover in space, you know, 2 meters apart and things like that, in an open air environment. Things like that have just snowballed, if you like, with the club to allow it to grow. Attendances were always 120 probably average for a long, long period. Well, they're shooting up, season tickets go up, and all this different engagement helps us as a club, brings in revenue, obviously, which has a domino effect then potentially on the on-field capacities. Yeah. Positions like, well, probably similar to my own, media and dealing with video content, I suppose my colleague, everything social media-wise. You know, Tom is pretty much full-time scheduling posts, putting things up, advertising upcoming fixtures and things like that. Well, apart from your TNSs and maybe a few others, I would say the majority of Cymru leagues are run by volunteers who are doing it for the love of their club and perhaps that local area. All due respect, the ages of some of these members of the volunteer team are probably the wrong side of, you know, the digital age, should we say, and they're perhaps not quite understand or realizing the opportunities, how innovative a club can be. You know, the introduction of VO has been transformative, I think, for a lot of clubs in an analytical way. The technology that allows, well, it's fascinating to see. It follows the ball. So there's a camera that's unmanned for the 90 minutes, and it films the game, just purely follows the ball. There's no audio or anything like that with it, but it's, you're able to watch back as a coaching staff. But a lot of clubs now are clipping those goals, perhaps, and highlights, and putting it on their social media. Not all clubs are doing it. And then you've got perhaps other clubs with people like myself walking around with a camera, trying to capture other angles and other sort of opportunities to capture footage, basically, to celebrate what is good on a match day and, you know, around the week. That's the build-up, the changing room, the supporters walking in the ground and things like that. So there's roles like that, I think, could be encouraged, because at least it's not just the Cymru League's accounts or the Scorio accounts end that are putting the content out. It's individual clubs putting really, you know, as professional as possible, I suppose. So that, you know, maybe somebody retweets it. So a new fan goes, oh, that looks a good laugh, that is, on a Saturday afternoon. It's affordable as well. You know, the current pricing structure, you look at the Football League and the National South and things like that, some of those prices are probably double of what the average ticket is in the Cymru Premier and the Cymru League. So it's, you know, the cost of living and things like that. It's affordable entertainment. You know, you can a lot of clubs do free for under 16 and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities to take things forward, I think, depending on what these pillars look like.
Can I ask, and on to that, you've already answered my next question, which is fantastic. What stuff do you guys do differently? So thank you for that. One of the things you were talking about was doing like a live YouTube, that's the vlogcast, I think, that you were mentioning there. So when people do that, are they watching the VO cam thing that you were talking about there? Or is it just like, for want of a better expression, is it like a camera on your face sort of thing, kind of talking about the game?
You're almost there. So I met with Rob about 2.5 years ago. Since Rob came in, obviously his background is he's from London. In COVID, he invested in the club and has transformed the way. It was already a well-run club, to be fair, for West County, but he brought a level of innovation and professionalism again to it. We spoke about 2.5 years ago. I said, look, I work with technology day in, day out in my full-time job. I'd love to sort of come back to the club in that sort of capacity. And I thought it would be a case of filming games, if I'm honest, that sort of role to help with the analytical sort of processes with the coaching staff. And he said, well, actually, we've just invested in VO, so that job is redundant for anybody now. And it just sort of snowballed over a couple of weeks. And we said, well, all or nothing, the Netflix, Amazon sort of feature-length documentary series, would you be interested? Well, I was chomping at the bit. I couldn't wait to get started with this. It's a dream gig for me, working in and around a team that's looking to do well on a high level of standard, working with technology. I'm still in and around the sort of camaraderie of a dressing room and things. So that started, 2 years ago. And we've almost at the end of season two of that documentary. I'm currently flat out editing the European adventure that we've just come off. Last year, we introduced a podcast/vodcast. It's filmed on and it goes out on YouTube, but also on the sort of Spotify and things like that, where we have members of the club community from coaching staff, players, sponsors, etc. And we have a 20, 30-minute conversation, very much like this, where it's like, tell us a bit about your background, where have you come from in your football life? We've had a lot of new signings on there and that sort of stuff. Obviously, people like Tony Pernick and you know, people with a backstory, you know, who've perhaps been at the Swans as a kid, released, ended up in the Cymru League structures. It's been quite engaging, but we're always looking to go again, both Rob, myself and the board. How can we take it to the next level? And we've come up with sort of, the podcast is called The Bluebird's Nest. And we've come up with the Bluebird's Nest live concept. You'd be glad to know my face isn't on these live comments. It's purely my audio. We piloted it at Pennebont last Friday night. A minor glitch in the first 10 minutes and the audio didn't work. So people were sat on YouTube waiting for the audio to kick in. But it's something we're going to look to do on away games because there's a fair bit of travel in the league. So supporters, they do travel well. There's a minibus often following us around the country. But I mean, we've got a good following now. There's a good couple of hundred people who are almost, you know, fanatical about it, to be fair. It's constant on Twitter and social media and things. So it's providing them an engagement on a match day. They can listen to it out shopping, out walking the dog. It's on YouTube. Just match updates. We piloted it. I was riding solo, but I'm looking potentially then, you know, somebody travel with us who can be a guest on there. So it becomes like a conversation with match commentary, for want of a better word, sort of
whilst the game's happening.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, Wavy or Chris Camara and people like that on a match day on Sky Sports, where they're talking about the game, giving updates, that sort of thing, I guess. But obviously, for the time being, anyway, purely on our game.
Yeah. I love that idea, the Chris Camara thing. That's one of my big things that I would love to discuss with you. Ruth, is there anything you want to ask about Haverford West County and what they do in that sense? Or do you want to...
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with the relationship with the FAW, kind of cycling back a little bit, Ryan, because from what you're describing, it sounds like Haverford West is really actually pretty sort of front and centre with their thinking. This is the whole sort of media engagement, community, you know, blueprinting yourself as belonging to Pembrokeshire as a whole and all that sort of thing. Does the FAW support... like those efforts, whether it's running seminars to help you look at new technology, or even just using you as a voice to help other clubs? Is there anything around that side of things that they are doing or could be doing better?
Yes and no, I suppose. I'm not aware, like, I'm not aware of any official capacities, the way they're saying, yes, look, could have Haverford West are doing. There are some sort of introduction to how your club should be online seminars. And somebody's mentioned that they've been on that course and has seen a picture of me holding a camera on a gimbal on a touchline. So I know that, you know, they're well aware of what we're doing as a club. I'd love to work with other clubs and come up with collaborative ideas, sharing best practice, because, you know, everything we do, yes, we do it to put a spotlight on the club, but it's to spotlight the league as well, you know, and to celebrate and put more people in front of this product as much as we can. So I'm not aware officially that there's too much going on how to use the equipment and things like that, but I think there is the odd sort of annual send you, if you've got a social media person, come and have a chat with us about what you should and shouldn't do as a club. I'm assuming that's what goes on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've got a great reputation on the coaching side. Mm. It seems like there's space here to grow, almost like training courses, seminars, get-togethers, conferences for this sort of your level of involvement with the club, in the sense of the outreach and the marketing and the public facing kind of dynamic of that we could be doing better. One of the things I notice over here, obviously there's the big four sports, and my favorite is the ice hockey, and it is probably the fourth of the four, but one of the things they do very well is have a common face when they're looking at the public. So if you go on a website belonging to, I don't know, the Phoenix Coyotes, it doesn't look dissimilar to the Boston Bruins. I'm not saying everybody has to have a common website, but there's sort of expectations of when you visit somewhere, these are the minimums of what you're going to see. This is what you're going to experience. This is what you as a fan can expect to receive. And I think there's definitely things around that help draw people in when you don't feel like you start at square one with every interaction that you're having with this community.
I think that's something I wanted to add to that as well. I think that's a great point, Ruth, because the next thing we wanted to talk about is the things that the league /FAW don't do to help themselves. I think that's one big thing, is how a lot of the content, for want of a better word, is accessed. And I think that, you know, I find keeping up with things difficult, and I'm actively trying to do so. I have, you know, a soft spot for certain clubs for different reasons. Barrytown United, because that's basically where I'm from. I've developed an interest in Haverford West over the last couple of seasons, especially because of, you know, because the documentary as well. So I have that kind of soft spot, like I say. So I try and do that, but it's also not easy. And the thing you said about the website, Ruth, is perfect. The NFL are exactly the same. I'm sure they have some level of template website. If I go onto the Washington Commanders website, or I go onto the New England Patriots website, it's basically the same place, the same website. I know where to click for certain bits of access. I know where to get my news or where to click. The website is exactly the same in its layout and format. And as you say, it's just basically got different badging and content on it, but you know how to get around. And that's one of the things I find most frustrating, is that trying to access information about certain clubs is so wildly different. The one of the other ones I got a Carnarvon Town shirt. They have like a retro shirt this season, really, really nice yellow and green shirt, very like plain old fashioned. It's really, really nice. And I found it a real battle to find where I could buy that shirt. In the same way, again, I'm not just saying this, with Haverford West, it was very apparent where I could get that shirt, and it was quite easy to do so. So I don't know why the infrastructure of that, because I feel like, and I appreciate, I'm crap at this, I'm a music teacher, so I don't really know how these things work, but I feel like, how hard can it be for JD Sports, as the Cymru Premier League sponsor, to host these sorts of things? As just as simple as, they don't have to, you know, have the shirts in their warehouse or on, you know, on hangers in their shops, but they could that could be the host of where you buy your shirt from, because they've got it for the Welsh national team, for the men's and women's stuff, for the kids stuff. Everything is there. Again, I'm sure there's a reason. I'm sure Ryan could give me a perfectly valid reason. But in terms of accessing it, to me, stuff like that seems like such an open goal that is being missed. And I would say the same with the website. I think the points you make about the template, if you like, Ruth, for the website is another one. And I think a basic level of infrastructure around how football is consumed online. Like, I think, and again, I'm not just saying this, I think we've got Ryan with us here, who is someone who is, you know, some of the stuff they're producing is top level content. You know, the documentary as its own example. I'm not saying that every Welsh Cymru, every Cymru Premier League team should be able to do a documentary, but if they were to have someone you've mentioned for as part of the outreach program and stuff, if the FAW could support financially someone coming in that doesn't have a difference on the pitch, if you like, in terms of outcomes, but does have a difference in terms of what the outcome of the engagement is, I think that would be so beneficial. And again, I've got a million of these ideas, he says, sounding like he's Billy Big Time. But I do think there's lots of these little things that could really, really make a difference. Is there one thing that really stands out to you, Ryan, again, as someone who's kind of on the inside, as the things that they don't do to help themselves, really?
To quickly pick up on your JD point, I think, you know, we're with Macron and they've helped us build this commercial shop this year, and it's fantastic. You know, we're offering things, bucket hats, passport holders, scarves, you name it, it's fantastic. I think that would be the stumbling point in sourcing things and putting them on a central place because of the different suppliers, even though I think Macron have the lion's share of the league now, I think. It's a tricky one. I think for me the opportunities, like you said, with those pillars coming in, I think a website content administrator, you know, they don't have to have any interest in football, but to have somebody locally to that club to say, here's the match report on a document typed up, stick that on a website, it just becomes, it's almost criteria that you have to follow.
Yeah.
Without naming names, I've gone on to find a postcode or something like that on a website, and I've gone, oh, they won last week, I thought they lost, and you click the article and it's about three months ago, and you're thinking, like, but again, it goes back to the point of capacity. If you're built on a team of followers and volunteers who love the club, who perhaps, to be fair, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon, they don't want to be going on a website, I get that. But then if you've got somebody who is a part-time admin purely on the website, then they're going to do that, I suppose.
Ruth, what you know, we've talked about those different things there. What do you think is something that League doesn't do to help itself?
I mean, we've touched on a lot of different points when you add them up. I think there's a scheduling question as well. I think the geography, we have to acknowledge that Haverford West to Carwin Bay, it's not easy, you know. You've got, you know, everything from, I mean, what would be your longest away trip this season, Ryan?
North Macedonia.
Of course. Fair point.
I think it's probably the north. We got Carwin Bay now in 3 games time. I've not been there before, but I know that, and that's northwesterly. I think probably the northeast teams are further for us. So probably Connors Key, I want to guess at. In Flintshire, they're playing at Flint Town United's ground this year, but it won't be much in it. And I mean, apart from Newtown, TNS and Aber, all those North William ones are overnight stays. You know, it's too much to do in one hit, particularly for the players.
Yeah, so I think there's things we can do around scheduling that make that easier for clubs. And I think we've got to acknowledge that everybody's running on a shoestring. So if we're putting people in the position where they're trying to house 25 people for a night in hotels, you're putting an onus on them that really isn't fair for the income level of the club. So I think there are things around that we could do better as well.
I think to add to that, Ruth, can you hear me, actually? Okay. It's just not shown up as the little green thing. Anyway, to add to that, like, I do think, again, as Ryan said, it's the lot of the little things, right, is what's going to make a difference. And I think that the league, I'm obviously not privy to what Noel Mooney and the gang talk about, but I do wonder if there's a selection of stuff we can do, or the league can do, sorry, to help itself in certain ways. Because, for example, and I don't know, obviously, but there's going to be a number of clubs whose overnight stays and long distance drives is different from someone else, just purely based on geography. So as a consequence, you have a relative advantage cost wise there, even of the amount of times that you're staying somewhere for 25, 30 people, whatever is different, obviously. So there's that element to it. So one of the things, if we try and look a bit, try and be a bit more proactive or positive about it, is what can happen to save people money, and or can the FAW do to kind of promote things but make things easier without giving teams a competitive edge? So, for example, again, I appreciate this is fully pie in the sky, but is there something the league can do whereby there's a hotel chain in, I don't know, 99% of the places or near the places that players are going to play in? They are also the official hotel sponsor of the league. And when the clubs go to play there, they get to stay there for either for free or a much reduced cost, or they or have to pay, their own food costs or whatever, or something like that. And again, maybe that's been explored, I don't know. But I think stuff like that is the stuff that will make a big difference financially, and all field a little bit, because maybe I don't know how long, Ryan, it takes you to get to Colwyn Bay, like you just said there, but if that is the difference between a 3-hour journey and a 6-hour journey is the difference between whether you stay overnight or not, well, maybe 5 hours you can just about do it. All of those ifs and buts get taken out of the equation a little bit, and then as a consequence a lot more it becomes about the best preparation, because financially we don't need to worry about that. And I think the other one which I thought about, which I appreciate sounds like a really stupid idea, but I do think there's a relative amount of merit in it. I would say that. But I think one of the things that I also think that needs to happen is improve the coverage for people in areas where football is big, but people do other stuff at different times. So, for example, Cardiff City, obviously in Cardiff, there's a huge amount of people who are fans. I think they get about, 20 something thousand for most home games, sometimes more depending on the opposition. So there is a huge catchment area there of people in Cardiff, in and around Cardiff, who are interested in football. Let's say, for argument's sake, and I say this only because this is the only chain that I think I know, like Mitchell and Butler are a chain of pubs. Why can the FAW not make an agreement with Mitchell and Butler? Agree that in their pubs, in a couple of pubs in, I don't know, in and around a certain radius around where Barry Town United play. So somewhere, places like Barry and Penarth and Sully and even Cardiff maybe, where their pubs will guarantee that they'll have one screen that shows the live match that's going to be on Espedrech, on Scorio, for that weekend. And then in return for that, that pub or pubs get to have advertising around the hoardings in the Barry Town United match, so that when people are watching it, they can see it on the screen, but they can also know other pubs in their area that they can go to. Kind of a bit of a win-win, and that can happen, perhaps in different areas around the place. And then these different pubs and this brewery and everything else become like a sponsor of the league, but each of their different little pubs that are there, Mitchell and Butler pub or whatever in the area, get to have the promotion in their specific area as well, that gets seen on the TV, but it's on whilst football is going on in their pubs all the time. And again, maybe someone's already thought of that, I don't know, but I think something like that, small different things can make a huge, huge difference to this. And I really think that these are the sort of things that could and should be explored to kind of develop that. I don't know what you think, Ryan.
Yeah, well, to go back to your first point with regards to the hotels and things, I commend our partnership manager, Wyndham, would go down to the T Hotel in just outside Halford West in Pembrokeshire, and has developed a relationship with them. And then we encourage all away travelling teams, if they are staying and they make it known to us they're staying, they get a discount in that hotel. We get to promote them on social media. The opposition club, can stay there at a reduced rate. They obviously get custom, and perhaps on a Friday night, 30-odd people coming from North Wales, they might not have picked up on. So it's a win-win scenario. So yes, to a nationwide opportunity for clubs to do the same sort of thing, I think would be a no-brainer. Whereas I think Julie, our secretary, would pretty much look at a range of hotels in an area find the cheapest one. We know that we've perhaps stayed there before and go with what's cheaper depending on that week's prices, I guess, currently anyway. But yeah, I think something like that is putting, associating ourselves with a big chain would be win-win for everybody. And that's not just the accommodation. There's a lot of things. Think, you know, like Lucozade Sport, traditionally, has always been stuck on the touchlines of all the Premier League clubs, hasn't it? And I know, like, Prime and things like that nowadays are seeking opportunities to partner with these big clubs. There's no, again, perhaps it's regionalised, you know, there's water companies or something in a local area that we've partnered with or something like that. Those sorts of partnerships to grow the brand in, to partner with big and almost piggyback off some of their, you know, established brands would be phenomenal, I think, going forward. So again, that would be a role I would see useful as a sort of partnerships manager at every club who can look to work with the local community, you know, whether it's post-match food for the players. You know, we used to have Domino's deliver, you know, a number of boxes of pizzas, and they were pushed in the home and away dressing rooms. I know a lot of other clubs do something similar, you know, and perhaps Domino's could sponsor the whole leagues or something like that, you know, for collaboration. But to then sort of come on to the pub one, yes, it sounds fantastic. I'd love to watch the league situations unfold on a Saturday in the pub. I think the league perhaps would be hesitant because it is a pub. And I know you could target a sort of a family friendly chain and make it a, you know, lunchtime menu for kids and things like that. But I can't see the FAW and the Cymru Leagues wanting to associate themselves with a pub. Yeah. I potentially don't see that. I know a couple of years ago they had a gambling company sponsor the league, and I think that's why it stopped, because too many people, I think, were raising concerns about, well, you've got underage players coming through the academy who perhaps haven't even, we got a number under 18, and they're on their sleeves of their shirt, they've got logos for betting companies. And I think it was just that sort of moral area. And I'm wondering whether, it sounds great, but a restaurant perhaps would sit differently to a pub chain or something. But I like the idea, definitely.
I think, I mean, like I say, I don't, you know, I think it's a fair point, honestly, and I wouldn't expect it to happen, but it's just an example, I guess, of the sort of thing. I think the one big thing that I wanted to talk about, Ruth, is after my blog and one of the things that started the exchanges between Ryan and I was the idea of a switch channel, which is what we call it in the Netherlands, where ESPN show. So all the Dutch games are played on Friday night, which is also something I would like to come on to. But all the Dutch games in the second tier are played on Friday night with a couple of exceptions. And they have a switch show. So they have one main game, which is broadcast in its entirety. And on like ESPN2, they have the switch channel, which is like an NFL red zone type thing where every kind of big moment or big chance or something like that that happens in a game, it kind of flicks between game to game. And when my team, Ado, are away and aren't the televised game, I'll always go to the pub to watch it. And okay, I don't get to see the whole game, but you get to see the teams around you, especially when, you know, getting to the playoffs time of the season, you get to see the games around you, how the other teams are doing. And it's exciting. It's dramatic. It's fun to watch. So especially with the introduction of the humanless camera, I've worded that awfully, but with that, where, and it's the same thing here, there's one camera angle per game, so it's not like there's loads of stuff, there's one person commentating on kind of everything as it happens and as it changes, so it doesn't require a huge amount of manpower. Again, in terms of updating facilities, the FAW have got their own the Red Wall, sorry, app, where it could be broadcast and streamed or something like that through there. And again, I'm not for one moment suggesting that is an easy fix and something that someone could set up in half an hour. But I do think that it's one of those things that it would boost the league massively. I don't know what you think about that, Ruth.
I think that might be a down the line aim. I think there are questions about how the games are shared currently that are kind of more pressing, as it were. Like, for example, when I try and watch any highlights, if I go on the Scorio website, which kind of by default is usually where I start with this. Their preview is there on the website, because that's not, that doesn't have to be behind the click. I know it's not a paywall, but behind click. And I can understand how their program where they review the games has to be on click. It has to be like protected, as it were. But you can't even link to it off their main Scorio page. So you've got preview, 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 but you've got no way to access the review programs. And I think even if we stepped up something like that initially, so that those review programs were more accessible, I understand they need to be protected, and over here in Oregon I probably can't watch them, but I can understand how it needs to be segmented differently, but yet there should be an easy access point for that. I think if we could do that to start with, then look at, as you were saying, how can we expand that? Can you have like a red button type arrangement? Can you have something happening live that enables you then to dip into each and every game? I actually wanted just to go back a second, Ryan, because I had a question about the last topic when we were talking about pubs and that sort of thing. Are you able, for example, when you're up playing Colwyn Bay, are you able to show the game in your clubhouse and have a home crowd and, you know, gain some bar money or anything? Is there any capacity for that?
No, there isn't. So I suppose there's a good point to commend Scorio and what they do for the league. Scorio are phenomenal. And obviously I've got to know a lot of those guys, the technical, the producers, the cameramen, the commentators. They're a great bunch of people, to be fair. And I think, dread the thing would be if it wasn't for Scorio sort of commissioning everything that they do. You know, they do a lot, well, perhaps not enough for my liking, of the S4C live games, but they do the bilingual YouTube and Facebook ones. They've got a podcast. There's a lot going on that gives the league a platform. They've got the rights to the league. And there are sort of rules and regulations with regards to when can you put your own. But the VO cameras I spoke about are owned, if they're owned by independent clubs. So each club would have had to purchase one of those on a, I don't know whether it's a subscription or you just buy the kit. I'm not 100% sure. But that hardware and that content is club owned. Some clubs do put those out after Scorio goes out on a Monday night for the Saturday fixtures. Mm-hmm. But what Scorio do again, well, as quickly, I'm assuming as quickly as they physically can, if there is a goal in Newtown versus Aberystwyth, within an hour, if it's a good goal or it's a game change tweet or a Facebook post with that video that's been clipped and put out to say opening goal of the afternoon in the Cymru Leagues or something like that, they are very good at turning that around quickly. The commentators commentate for 95, 100 minutes or probably more now with the new changes. You hear them in the gantry. You know, they're working solidly throughout the whole afternoon. And I think, so back to what you were saying about that switch opportunity, yes, it'd be great long term, because I think the capacity is there. Yeah, with a few tweaks with the infrastructure perhaps or the technology, and having like a studio show with a Dylan or a Sean Ed or someone presenting, or it's perhaps it is a live game and like almost go split screen, right? Can we now go to Mark Williams, who's commentated in Half the West, has been a goal, and do that Chris Camara sort of piece. You'd see, it feels like that capacity could be there, because they're already commentating on 100 minutes of football in the afternoon, because obviously then that gets clipped and put onto a social media highlights video, then the post-match interviews and things like that. It's a well-oiled machine. It works really well. But again, budgets and things like that, I don't know. It's a bit of a pie in the sky. But again, going forward, that would be such a nice addition and introduction, again, evolving the way the content goes out. But to go back about putting something in the home clubhouse, I'd like to think that my voice wouldn't be booming around the clubhouse. But the Nest Live concept is kind of for those fans to still be able to watch sort of, you know, from afar, or listen, I should say, from afar to the match going on in Colwyn Bay. And then if a goal goes in, they know in 20 minutes, half an hour, 45, whatever it might be, they can watch that goal back on the social media streams.
A lot of the stuff we're talking about there, like obviously Saturday afternoon, the timings of it and everything else. The other thing I wanted to suggest, before I go put the dinner in the oven, is the Friday night kickoff. And I say this again, I use the Dutch League as an example because Dutch football is very weird in the sense that certain clubs traditionally have always played on different days on the weekend. So I'm sure some of it is religious reasons, some of it's traveling. So for example, NAC Breda, even when they were in the top division in the Eredivisie, will always play on a Friday night to their home games. They've now been relegated, so it's Friday nights for all of their games. But Feyenoord, for example, always traditionally played on a Sunday, and so on. So they've always had slightly different stuff, but not long ago, relatively speaking, they went to these Friday night games because it gave the clubs their own guaranteed slot on a Friday night. Part of it is because obviously the Netherlands is, you know, the flattest country around, so you know it's easy to get around. It's very different to Wales in that regard. There's still some relatively long drives, and I've been on a couple of away trips, and some of the rules around away trips in the Netherlands make away games quite prohibitive. You have to go on a club. Every game's a bubble game, basically, because Dutch football hooligans are idiots. So every game's a bubble game. No one can drive to games, basically. So, for example, the game I went to NAC Breda last season away, it's about an hour and a half on the battle bus, as we call it. The game kicks off at 8. The bus left between 4 and 4.30. So I had to battle home from work, get on the bus, be surrounded by, you know, drug-taking morons for about 2 hours on the bus before basically stood in an away ground for an hour before the game kicks off. It's not ideal. So I get the problems that people would say about games on a Friday night and away travel and so on. So I recognize that there's a problem there because it's difficult enough here where it's really not that difficult. So I do recognize that. But how to kind of explain this argument, apart from having its own dedicated slot, was on the weekend, two games in the Premier kicked off at 2.30. The week before that, I think it was 3. So the idea of a Saturday 2.30 kickoff is already, relatively speaking, null and void. And I feel like spreading it out across the weekend, and I get, again, I understand why, but spreading it out across the weekend, I think, thins it out. And if you're, you know, if you're a Cardiff City fan and you're going to watch Cardiff City on a Saturday afternoon, you're going to go to the pub after the match. You're not going to race home to watch, I don't know, Barry Town against Colwyn Bay or whatever on the TV. It's just not going to happen. And it's the same if you, you know, a lot of people in Wales especially are, you know, let's say, Swansea fans, but also are Liverpool fans. So after Swansea have played, they're going to watch the 5.30 kickoff at home on the TV or in the pub or on the TV at home rather than watching. So I think by spreading it all out is already defeating the object of the exercise anyway. So having its own slot is on a Friday, I think, would be a real win. I'm going to put in the dinner in the oven. But Ruth, I want you to tell me what you think before Ryan comes in.
I mean, Ryan, one of my questions, because it's something I can't observe from here, is obviously the rugby has kind of claimed that Friday evening slot on the television. Do you think that might be prohibitive to this idea, or do you think there's the space to have a more dedicated slot, even if it's not necessarily a Friday? I mean, I can see an argument for a Thursday evening, because I think from a society point of view, Thursday night is almost becoming Friday night, isn't it, in terms of how people slide into the weekend.
I think some people would say, oh, I like my routine, I like having a Saturday afternoon, and I get that, but with some fixtures, particularly North versus North teams and South versus South teams, I love a Friday night. You know, going to Pennebont last weekend, albeit the weather was horrific. It rained for 95% of the game. It was a great crowd. I think it was 450 there, who potentially were going to see a Cardiff or a Swansea the next day. You know, I think Pennebont are a number of other clubs offer discount for season league clubs. So it's a Friday night game is great. And I think if that was to be televised, or the way they do it bilingually on Facebook and YouTube, excellent. That would certainly help matters. I must say, I don't know whether it's a Cymru Leagues logistical idea or teams in the Port Talbot area, but on bank holidays, I've seen in the past, they've done like a 3-game staggered approach. And it sounds great. If you're in Port Talbot, you've got maybe five or six Cymru South teams in that. You know, you could throw a hat on them over them all. And they've done sort of like they would do on Super Sunday on the telly. You know, you have three kickoff times, so that if you were an avid fan of football, and you might be a Britain Ferry fan, you go and see Britain Ferry first against Lido or someone like that. Then you go up the road to Goitre United. Then you go down, you know, the road to whoever else is playing in that local area, you know. So things like that. I mean, Flintshire have got a number of clubs. The North West, sort of Colwyn Bay, Carnarvon, and places like that. Cardiff have obviously got a number. I'd struggle to see a half a Western Aberystwyth, Newtown, perhaps combo. But last weekend, what we were saying about those Saturday afternoons, it was Balor had travelled to Cardiff Met and TNS had travelled to Pontypridd. So they had to have those two teams as Saturday afternoons. They couldn't invite, well, maybe TNS you could justify, but, you know, agree to play in Corners Quay on a Friday night because of the logistics in travel. You know, we got a number of teachers, of builders, carpenters, myself, I got a full-time job. So we would have to be a Saturday or a Sunday fixture. However, when we stay over on Friday night, the Saturday morning is very much, right, guys, you've got an hour, 2 hours of free time. Then we'll have a team meeting. Then we'll take our time going over to the ground. If you were to offer a half past 12 kickoff in against Corners Quay with perhaps a team down the road kicking off 2.5, 3 hours later, 100%. I think those sort of double headers and clubs perhaps could come together on an opportunity to mix, you know, a double ticket. Great, you know, and if the league structure of fixtures can be perhaps one weekend or every month or something like that, you know, you have Pont, Barry all home on a Saturday with staggered starts, that would give a lot of people an opportunity to go and see all three games, because TNS Pontypridd, I thought, and it sort of lived up to expectation, I thought would be a great game because I saw Ponty the week before, who've massively strengthened. You know, but then you got Bala down the road playing Cardiff Met. I'd love to go and see those if I was in Cardiff too, to sort of, you know, on a half with my half of what they're going to be like in a couple of weeks. If I had the chance to go see both, I probably, you know, would have taken that opportunity. So I do think changing times to accommodate things like that would be great. But obviously all clubs have got to agree to that. If I'm honest, from my experience in North Wales, if you said, right, we're going to kick off at half past 12, but then we're leaving North Wales at maybe half past 3, that's win-win, because they're potentially getting home to see their families on a Saturday night, not getting home, you know, match of the day's end credits are on the telly most of the time. So there's a lot of things that could be manipulated around. But the Friday night or the Sunday night, Thursday, whatever, I think we've got obviously Barry now next Tuesday night away. Because it's still a trek for us, but I think it's a slightly later kickoff. I've been to Barry once on a Saturday afternoon. All those fixtures tend to be a midweeker, purely because we can, and it frees up a weekend for people then. And it, obviously being in Barry and places like that, you've got the Cardiff fans who could come along then.
Sorry, can I ask a quick question to go along with that? Do you not think as part of the, like you talk about the Friday night, you've got people who are teachers and builders and whatever, and obviously can't do a Friday. One of the things, again, like Norman is talking about putting this money in, do you think it would be feasible, again, to have some kind of level of stipend where people say, you know, we're going to teachers may be a different example, but where we're going to pay you, you're going to have money as if you had worked that day, your kind of, your 9-to-5 job, if you like. And I appreciate, you know, you need a lot of flexibility in a lot of different places to kind of get that off the ground. But again, I think that also would help the level of professionalism, right? Because the club don't have to pay for that, which would be one thing. So you've got all your players and staff and whatever else involved in that. Equally, if we, you know, go down the hotel's route, if we're being pie in the sky, you guys don't have to pay for that accommodation or whatever else. So again, we keep saying, I do think these little things are something which do involve the FAW at some point, because it's easy to say, maybe not easy, but I understand the logic of saying we're going to invest in Astro pitches around, or 4G pitches around the league, or we're going to help Llantwit Major, like you mentioned earlier, build, you know, a proper stand so they can accommodate the football, blah, blah, blah. But then I don't think that has I think whilst there needs to be a level of long term, I also think there needs to be a here and now. I think, because you know, if you're a Llantwit Major fan, or you're interested in football, you live in Llantwit Major, is them building 50 new seats going to make you go and watch that match, which is really the sort of stuff we're after here, or engage in that a little bit more? Well, probably not. But if you've got access to watching these matches, or you can go and see it easily because it's on, to, I think that's the sort of stuff that engages people. But I don't know if, again, I'm being a bit too black and white about it.
No, it sounds great in theory. The difference you can have is, well, what if so-and-so is a head teacher and so-and-so is just, with all due respect, works in a, you know, a retail shop or something like that. You've got huge differences in compensation money, I suppose, you know, to sort of alleviate them from being in work that day. I don't think the league is ever, I'd love it to get to the professional standards that, like your TNSs, it's highly unlikely that many of those guys have got a second job, I'd have thought. I don't know, it could be wrong, but they are footballers who do that day in, day out. You know, Connors Key tried it. They've gone back to being the part-time sort of structure now. Ideally, there is no clashes and you can have your midweek fixtures. I'd love to see something on YouTube, opportunity to watch football nights a week would be excellent. I don't think that's a long, long way off in being able to do that. However, we've got a lot of derby games. Why can't it almost be compulsory for those to be played in an evening slot or on a Sunday? Sometimes it's not ideal, but now and again, travelling on a Saturday afternoon to stay overnight on a Saturday to play on a Sunday because you're the live game or the live YouTube game or whatever would be great.
I'm aware that we've taken up a lot of your time, Ryan, and I don't want my tea to burn. So I think it would be good to kind of wrap up here a little bit. Ruth, I think we've talked about a lot of different stuff here. If you had a magic wand, so to speak, is there something either that we've talked about or we haven't quite mentioned, you haven't had a chance to mention yet, that you think you would like to do to make a difference?
I think the key here is more synergy across what the different clubs are doing, whether it's how they're engaging with their supporters or how they're engaging with the wider community, how the clubs are working with each other. I think what we can see with Haverford West is that when a club has a good team, and I mean in the wider sense, you know, people in Ryan's Royal up to the playing staff, then you can achieve an awful lot because people are engaged and there's goodwill and there's energy and there's desire to get things progressing. And I think if we can help each club get on that footing, then there is a lot that the clubs can do themselves. Haverford West have demonstrated that there's a lot the clubs can do themselves, but you've got to enable them to have the space and the wherewithal and the personnel to do that. So I think that would be the first thing, is what does each club need from a personnel point of view to help them in their community? And Barry Town's needs are going to be different from Colwyn Bay's, are going to be different from Haverford West County's. And I think what the FAW can do, and particularly like the Cymru League hierarchy, is engage with the clubs and like, what do you need now that's going to help you make a statement in your community and engage with your community? And it's going to be different things. And I think once all of the clubs are kind of embedded and valued and showing this community that they're involved in, whether it's Pembrokeshire or whether it's Flintshire or whatever, that they are central to that community, then you can look at how do we engage the wider Welsh football in public? How do you pull in people on Anglesey that aren't particularly following Carnarvon or aren't particularly following Colwyn Bay or, you know, whoever, but how do you pull them into the games and get them involved? So I think Haverford West County and some of the other clubs are just very good examples of what you can achieve when you've still got people like Ryan who are doing full-time jobs all the time and yet producing all this wonderful content too that people can engage in. And I think if we can get every club feeling that empowered, then they're going to devise things that work for their community, because not everybody can brand themselves as like representing Pembrokeshire, for example, in the way that have for West County, but there's a geography there that's interesting, but that's personal to that club. And So different models work for different places, but I think you've got to be able to provide each club with the resources that enable them to find their place in their community.
Yeah, I got that's a good way to describe it. Ryan, as a brief little finish to this, as the man on the inside, what is your, if you know, as if someone could do something to change things for Haverford West County, what would you say?
Magic wand scenario. There's two parts of this. Everyone says, oh, summer league football is going to change everything. We'd be more prepared for Europe, blah, blah, blah. I completely disagree. I don't think it would have the impact people assume. I think it would be detrimental. A lot of players don't want to be playing football in the summer months. There's perhaps school children are off. So your family time, I think, would be impacted. Players' availability, I think, would be impacted because of holidays and weddings and things like that. So in preparation for Europe, I felt Tony Pennock and the management team and the board and everybody got it so spot on. We played Carmarthen first. It was their first fixture, ours. It was a friendly derby, should we say. We then accessed a grant from the FAW, to be fair, which credit to them. We played the Northern Ireland Premier League champions, Larn, away in Larn. It proved an opportunity for a lot of boys. They'd never been on the plane. Some of our younger players, they'd never been on a plane before. They'd certainly never travelled on a plane to a fixture. So we had pretty much a 24-hour visit to Belfast. Flew in on the Saturday morning, played Saturday night, flew back on the Sunday. It set the tone of this is what it's like to travel with a suitcase and a kit bag and things like that. Then we came back the following week and played the Swans in Michael Duff's first fixture as manager on an absolute carpet against a very much first team squad. Joe Allen and all the top stars played against us. Tony picked them so that we were used to playing a team that was going to have all the ball and was just going to come at us. Very much almost, it's not going to be worse in Macedonia than it is against the Swans. So if we can do that, you can do that almost mentality. We lost 2-0, which was a very much heads held high loss. It was their first fixture and they went on to have a decent pre-season. But that was a better organization. We also played Britain Ferry again, which was a completely opposite end of the scale, to be in due respect. Cymru South, physical battle. We actually lost to them. They beat us 2-0. But again, that provided an opportunity for the management team to discuss that. So playing a couple of fixtures in the league against teams we've played in for 12 months of the year, I don't think is no better than what we managed to set up ready for Macedonia. So I don't think that is a magic wand scenario, summer league football. What I do think Europe provided an opportunity to see was the Faroe Islands in the second round, going away there and learning all about how their league's structured. There's 50,000 people on the islands. There's 10 pro teams. They didn't like it when you called them pro teams, but they trained 5 times a week. Well, everybody apart from a Faroese person, I think, involved in football there, that's a full-time professional outfit. When we played them, they weren't technically better. They weren't, they had a couple of great players, don't get me wrong. They had Latvian internationals who were on the bench. Faroese internationals, I think it was a couple of Estonians, but because these guys were training 5 times a week, they were more, not even, I don't want to say more drilled, because we had put the guys through, major training sessions and things, but the fact that they had contact time with the management team 5 times a week, I think that was the difference in the end between our guys twice a week who were up on roofs fixing slates and things like that on a Tuesday before traveling, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that's great, and I think that's a very good one, isn't it? The contact time, as you said there, is a perfect example. Ryan, thank you so much for your time, mate. We really appreciate it, and thank you to you as always, Ruth. Thank you to everyone who's listened. I think it's been a really interesting insight, because I think I'm being quite idealistic about some of these things, and you're rightly putting me back in my box. So, so I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much. Massively appreciated. Thank you to everyone for listening. Please go to buymeacoffee.com/Coleman's Dream to support us, and go to bagsybags.com and use the code CHAD10 for 10% off there as well. Again, Ryan, thank you very much for your time. We'll be back. We have still not reviewed the Armenia and Turkey games, Ruth, which I think says a lot about those two football matches. But that review will be coming at some point in the near future, I guess, regarding Rob Page. But as the season is back, Ruth and I will be back, and Coleman Had a Dream is very much back. Again, Ryan, thank you very much for your time. Thank you to Ruth. And we will speak to you soon. Thank you and goodbye.